Welcome to Voices of Better Medicine, as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about the health issues and the questions that matter to you. Hi, I'm Robin Rock. Joining me today is Dr. Rod Passman. Dr. Passman is a cardiac electrophysiologist and director of the Center for Arrhythmia Research at Northwestern Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Passman.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk for just a minute about atrial fibrillation, because more than 2.7 million people in the U.S. are living with atrial fibrillation right now. Dr. Passman, can you talk a little bit about what it is?
Well, actually, it's probably even more than that, because a lot of people may be walking around with this disease and may not even know it. So atrial fibrillation is an abnormal rhythm of the heart, where the upper chamber of the heart beats very, very rapidly and irregularly, and that can have several consequences. And number one, you may feel terrible. You may feel palpitations, short of breath, lightheaded, dizzy. But whether you feel it or not, atrial fibrillation increases your risk of stroke, because blood clots can form in the heart and break off and go to the brain. You're also at increased risk of heart failure. We know that people with atrial fibrillation have a higher risk of dementia. And in general, people with atrial fibrillation just don't live as long as those without atrial fibrillation.
What are the most common symptoms of AFib, and what are the key risk factors that people should really know about?
So I think the most common symptoms are that people feel palpitations. They may feel that their heart is racing, or they may be aware of their heartbeat when they're doing nothing, or their heart rate may accelerate inappropriately, even with small levels of activity. But as I mentioned, many people may not know they have it, or they may only feel some of their episodes. I think in terms of risk factors, age is the number one. So if we could figure out a way to reverse the aging process, that would be great. However, since we can't do that, we have to deal with those risk factors that we know we can modify. Things like high blood pressure. We understand that obesity is an issue, excessive alcohol intake, poor sleep. All of those things may contribute to the presence of atrial fibrillation.
Well, if you're just now joining us, great timing. You're here just in time for Voices of Better Medicine, as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about health issues and questions that matter to you. And today we're talking to Dr. Rod Passman about atrial fibrillation. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and how it's treated at Northwestern Medicine. And what about the risks if it's left untreated?
I think the most feared consequence is the risk of stroke, because these abnormal rhythms can cause blood clots to form in the heart. If those blood clots break off and travel to the brain, they can cause massive strokes, strokes that are much more likely to be severely debilitating or even life-ending compared to other types of strokes. The good news is that we have options to reduce that risk. You know, blood thinners that have been around since the 1950s, we know reduce the risk of stroke. And over the last dozen years or so, those blood thinners have gotten easier to take and more effective. There are also procedures that are done in places like Northwestern. We could put a little device inside the heart to block off the areas where the blood clots form, and that might be a great option. For many people who with atrial fibrillation, we want to control the rhythm of the heart. And traditionally, we've done that with medications, but again, over the last two decades or so, a procedure called ablation has really taken the forefront of rhythm control. And now we can go into the heart and disrupt the electrical tissue that causes atrial fibrillation and actually keep people in a normal rhythm much more than we could with medication alone, and do it in a pretty rapid and safe manner at a place like Northwestern.
Well, Dr. Passman, as the director of the Northwestern Medicine Center for Arrhythmia Research, you're leading an important clinical trial on atrial fibrillation. And I was just wondering if maybe you could tell us more about that study and how that really could potentially shape the future of AFib care.
As a clinician who also does research, patients are a great source of questions. And medicine is not static. It's constantly evolving, constantly asking how we can do things better. And one thing that struck me is that the blood thinners that I mentioned, which are very effective at reducing the risk of stroke, everyone takes the same dose for the same duration. So if you're someone who's in atrial fibrillation all the time because we can't control the rhythm, or you're someone who has AFib once a year, or you're someone who had an ablation done, for example, and you don't have AFib anymore, the current standard of care is that if you have other risk factors for stroke, like high blood pressure, diabetes, or you're over the age of 65, for example, that you are on a lifetime of a blood thinner. And while that may be good at protecting you against stroke, these medications have risks. They thin the blood. They increase the risk of bleeding. They're costly. And patients may curtail their lifestyle because they don't want to go mountain biking or skiing or expose themselves to the risk of trauma. So where we're doing is a very large study funded by the National Institute of Health. It's called REACT-AF. And half the patients stay on their blood thinner, which is the current standard of care. And the other half are given a customized Apple Watch that will alert them in real time if they're having an episode of atrial fibrillation. We'll remind them to restart their blood thinner, but only for a few weeks. So a patient who has an episode of atrial fibrillation once a year would only be on blood thinners 1 month out of the year and save themselves the exposure and the costs and the risks of those drugs the other 11 months out of the year. So the study is at about 85 centers across the country. It's being run through Northwestern Medicine. We've enrolled more than 2,000 patients so far, and Northwestern is the number one enrolling center, but there are many other centers in Chicago. So we really hope to offer this to patients, and this is how we change the practice of medicine.
Dr. Rod Passman, so much great information. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.